I'm just going to do this to pray. I'm going to take it off because it's way too big. David brought it for me, and it was when David was not as... Anyways, so it's close, but it's not quite enough. But let's pray and get started. Father, Lord, thank you for just your love for us and the Word of God. I pray, God, you help me to stay focused. Lord, I don't want to be someone that says a bunch of stories or even good illustrations. Lord, I want to be somebody that gives the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that it would be received, Lord, on good soil. And so, Father, I pray, God, you know me, Lord, how my mind works. And Father, you know the people here. And Lord, it is no accident that they're here for one reason or another. They need to hear something from the youngest, oldest. I praise you, Lord, for just the young ones that are here. That's a wonderful thing. And Lord, if nothing else, they're getting trained about the importance of being in church, Lord. And Lord, those that are able to hear and listen and comprehend, God, I pray you'd help them with that. So I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2? 2 Peter chapter number 2. Is this thing? I didn't know if you have it on. Yay. 2 Peter chapter 2. I was telling my wife this morning, or last night, I think, was I was getting ready, and knowing I was going to preach for a while since that before, and I was going to preach something I'd already preached before because that's easy to do. Then praying about it. I've been going through Peter, 1 Peter, and then 2 Peter, and then David, we were camping, read all of 2 Peter. And I was preaching through 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, which is where we're going to be at. I was like, okay, I will preach on 2 Peter chapter 2. But just a few introductory thoughts. If you were going to write a letter, how many of you have written an actual letter with pink pen and ink? How many of you have written a letter with pen and ink in the last week? One person. It's really something. How many of you take notes with actual pen and ink? Oh, several. I've used this, although I'm probably going to go back because I was looking at the old ones, and I look at my old copies of notes, and I take notes on this, but I almost never go back and look at them. And I think, well, you know what, maybe that's be good. And also just technology can get lost or destroyed or something like that. And so can paper, but just a little bit harder. But if you were going to sit down and write a letter, an actual letter to someone, and they were someone that you loved, and you knew it was the last thing that you would ever tell them, what would you write them? And if you were trying to encourage them in their spiritual life, if that was your goal, what would you write them? You might write them something, you know, if they were just a family person, you know, I remember this about you. But if your goal was, I know I'm going to die, and I want to give them something that'll last, what would you say? And then, if you knew that not only was this going to be used, but what you were giving them was actually from God, it was God's words that you were giving, how much would you think about before you wrote that down and sent it to them? That's exactly what 2 Peter is. He's going to die. This is his last instructions to people that he loves. And so when we read, now all of the Word of God is God's Word, and certainly all of them have died, but Peter knew, I'm going to die. This is something I want you to learn. So as we read 2 Peter chapter 2, have that in our mind. Maybe if you're thinking about this too, if you were getting a letter from someone and you knew for sure it was the last thing they would ever tell you, they were going to die. Now some of you, me, maybe one day, will know I'm going to die one day. A lot of us don't know. It comes unaware. Sometimes we do know it's going to happen. And we have that opportunity to write something down. Maybe you have a will that you can write down. But this is weeks, years, who knows? He knows he's going to die soon. Hopefully, when you read something like that from somebody, you would read it with a little more attention. And you would pay attention to what they're saying and why they were saying it. Well, that should be us reading God's Word. Someone's dying and they want to help me out. I should pay attention to what was going on. A little bit of background too. Peter is writing to some people that understood that they were sinners. They had believed in Jesus Christ as their only way of escaping their rightful punishment. These people realized that Jesus was God who lived a perfect life. He had died on the cross. He was buried for 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the grave. They were people that had placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. They'd already done that. So they're headed to heaven. There's no way they can be headed to hell. I had a pastor say this one time. He said, if you ever want to go to hell, never get saved, because at that point, it's too late. You're going to heaven whether you like it or not. Of course, he was being joking, because once you're in heaven, you're never going to want to go to hell. And if you're in hell, you're never going to be there. Another pastor said this. He said about these kids were getting saved. They're coming to church, vacation Bible school, or something like that. And he said, they don't know it, but we have just ruined their lives. Because one of the best proofs that you're a Christian is this: God chastens his children. And if he doesn't chasten you, he says, you're not mine. In fact, he uses the word this. He says, you're a bastard. It's his words. You're illegitimate. You may say you're my children, but I punish my children. And so these people understood that. They had gotten saved, and they had started to be punished, you could say that, and they had grown. In fact, they had grown so much that the world thought they were strange. They thought they were weird, the same people they used to hang out with. There's a song that a lot of you might know, "The Things I Used to Do." That's exactly what happened in their life. In fact, so much so that they were starting to question, is it really worth it? They had been driven away from their family. The world looked at them and think, you're odd, you're strange. And there was at least it appears as if there was a struggle. I'm going to go back. I'm saved forever. So really doesn't matter. And why do all this struggle? They were living such a separated life that the world thought they're odd. And they were, you might say it this way, they were living a distinctly Christian life and suffering because of it. And Peter wanted them to know it's okay to suffer that way. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I know you're in 2 Peter, but look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Dad says you get done at 12:30. 1 Peter chapter 4, not 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with this same mind, that he that suffereth in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of the time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. From the time past of your life ye may suffer, ye may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when ye walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revilings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. There are a lot of things we wouldn't think were bad, like banquetings in there. But there are people that just always had to go. They were always looking for the new thing. Going to this person's house. Not content to stay at home. Wherein, this is what this Bible says about these people, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. And if it wasn't bad enough, they thought, well, you're strange. It didn't end there. Then they said, speaking evil of you. They actually went from we think you're strange to talking about you. We are living in a day and age in which many, 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 many Christians do not want to be distinctly Christian. They want to live as close to the world as they possibly can and still be called a Christian. Now, listen, you can be saved and not live like a Christian. But that doesn't mean you're not a Christian, if I can say it that way. You can be saved and not be a Christian. Because a Christian is, it's Christ-like. There's a lot of believers, which, isn't it wonderful that salvation's all on Jesus? I live in the area we live in, there's a bunch of churches, a whole bunch of churches in the South, a lot of Baptist churches, a lot of churches that don't believe in eternal security. And this guy, I've ridden horses that more than I've ever ridden in my life. And it's actually kind of cool. And we ride with these guys. And one of them was riding with a friend of mine, older guy, 86 years old. He's still riding horses. And he said, this came up. We were having a lunch one day. And this guy said, well, yeah, but you got to live it. And what he was saying is, if you don't live it, you're going to lose your salvation. And he said, my friend said, you can't. You cannot live for the Lord the way God wants you to. How many of you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, every minute of every single day? Nobody. How many of you love the person next to you that you don't even know as much as you love yourself? Now, there might be some people that think they do that. And maybe there are people that do better. We should strive to do that. We ought to want to live for Christ. But if my idea of I'm going to say because I do X, Y, and Z, a lot of people, they just, this is what they, I'm saved, I know I'm saved because, and this is why you should know you're saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's sufficient. We're saved by Him and Him alone, and so I never have to worry about my salvation. So if you're not saved, your need today is to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of people ask someone, how do you know you're saved, or if they're saved? It's amazing the answers you'll get. A lot of times I'll ask people if they're saved, they'll say, well, I've been baptized. And that's not how we're saved. And sometimes people are saved. You might be saved today, and you might not know how to express that 100%. But listen, if you're trusting in anything other than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or if you've added things to that, well, Jesus, plus I kind of got to do this. And we don't think about it this way, but if that's the case, then Jesus wasn't enough. We don't think about that, but if I have to be baptized or if I go to church, now I'm for church. I'm for more church than most people are for church. I think the Bible tells us that the closer we get to... How many of you think that Jesus, that the world is getting probably worse and Jesus is almost about ready to come? How many of you would say that? A lot of people think that. A lot of people think the closer we get, man, church is hard. You know, God says the closer we get to Jesus coming back, we should actually go to church more. And more and more. I had this guy, a friend of mine, he was a Marine colonel. We were driving to this ministry we were going to, and he said, where do we get that we have to go to church 3 times a week? I said, you know, I guess I'm not sure. But I'll tell you, in the early church, do you know how often they met? Every single day. Every day. Now, it probably wasn't like this. It probably was a little bit different than this, maybe not multiple times a day. So I'm for going to church. But that doesn't save you. Doesn't keep you saved. These people understood that. And then they started living. Then they started going to church. They started living a perfect life. And look at 2 Peter now. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 16. That's all the base, and the rest we'll get through in the next little bit. This gives you a little bit of introduction to chapter 2 of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Or 2 Peter chapter 1, rather. We'll begin with chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. Then we'll read all the way down to 2 Peter chapter 2. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him with exceeding glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But, now we're just chapter 2, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. And many... many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We're going to talk about this one thing, false teachers. false teachers. That's what this, a lot of 2 Peter is devoted to, false teachers. And there were false teachers in Jesus' day. There were false teachers in Peter's day. There are false teachers in our day. And there could be false teachers in this room right now. That's actually what he's talking about. They're going to come. They're going to be here. So he wanted them to know how to spot these false teachers. And you know, some people even can start good, and they can be deceived. They're not wanting to be a false teacher. They can start really good, but they can be led astray. And later, I had it later on in my notes, but I'll just share it now in case you're wondering. Paul knew that he was saved and on his way to heaven, and he had the truth, but he also knew this. He could be deceived one day and preach a different gospel. And he said, listen, if we come back, if the apostles of Jesus Christ himself come back and give you a different gospel, don't listen to them. So Paul understood, I can be deceived. So if they can be, if people that, Peter said, we saw Jesus. We didn't sit down trying to make up something that deceived you. We actually saw Jesus. We heard God. And we're giving you the prophecies of Scripture. So it is important that we know the difference between a false teacher and a false preacher. And maybe you could say false teaching and preaching. As looking back at someone else, when I first started preaching, I thought, oh, that is not what the Bible was talking about, even though I said it's what the Bible was talking about. I remember my dad, one thing my dad said, I preached this message once, and I got done, and he, in the kindest way, said, you know what, that is a wonderful message. You might want to use this passage over here the next time you talk about it, because the passage I was using was out of context. For instance, this passage is misused all the time. I can do all things through Christ, which what? A lot of people say, you can do everything through Christ. You can fly. They don't say it this way, but you cannot. If you jump off of the tallest building in the world thinking, I can fly like a bird because I have Christ, you're going to die like a dead person at the bottom. That's what you're going to do. Paul was saying, listen, I have learned to have everything, and I've learned to have nothing, and God has taught me I can still do it. He was saying, listen, I've learned to have a lot, I've learned to have little, and I can suffer for the cause of Christ. I can do all things. I can handle all this suffering. But a lot of times we use that out of context. And there's a lot of things like that. So we need to know what the Bible says. And the longer I am, the less topical preaching I like, and the more, just give me what God's Word says. Let me see it in the Bible, because I want to know it's true. So false teachers, verse number one there, false teachers are a certainty. Even there shall be false teachers among you. He didn't say might be, they're going to be. False teachers are a certainty. If God's word is true, and it is, false teachers are a certainty. Actually, Dad was talking about doctrine this morning, and I was not planning. I didn't know that, but it's true. There are false teachers. It's a certainty. Secondly, if you're taking notes, there's like 20 things here, but I don't know if we'll get to them all. Secondly, false teachers come in among us. They actually come into our churches. They come in a lot of ways in our lives, more than they had. But they come in among us. They come in through our TV, which a lot of people don't have cable or anything like that. But they come in through our internet. They come in through our apps. They come in through the radio. They come in through work or through friendships. And yes, sadly, even false teachers come into our churches. They come in. I'm telling you, there is more ways that false teachers, there it is, can come into our minds right here. And a lot of times we invite them into our lives. We don't, it's like we're, here you go. We allow you to come see us, with us. So they come in among us. Paul, again, the passage, this is Galatians 1:8. This is when Paul said he even could be a false teacher. For though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. Paul said, even if an angel, we were reading the Oregon Trail, and I was reading about, there were 70,000 Mormons that went, I think, or some 70, 30, something like that, Mormons that went on the Oregon Trail. Joseph Smith deceived 70,000, and that's not all of them. So if he could do that back then, and he didn't have the tools that we have now, how many more could do it today? I think today there's a lot more out there, so there's a lot of people maybe not deceiving 70,000, although they're doing it. Listen, it's happening, and he says it's going to happen. False teachers bring in damnable heresies. That's what God says. These people bring heresies into the church. So they come into the church, and then they bring in the church. One of the jobs of this pastor right here, your pastor, is to guard the sheep from false teaching. In fact, the Bible says that a shepherd should be among the sheep, meaning a shepherd walks with his sheep. That's another reason why it's so good to come to church as much as you humanly possibly can, because if his job, or the pastor's job, you're right, if your pastor's job is to guard the sheep, how can he really know you if you're never there? And I like how God, the church is the assembling, it's the gathering together. And God in his wisdom knew that one man or two men, or even if your church had 20 pastors, if they went to every single family, it would take them forever to do that. When I first got to the church, I said, I'm going to get to know these people. And so I said, I'm going to visit you at your work. I'm going to figure out what this church is like. And I'm going to figure out what the community is. So I started going one at a time, going to their work and meeting them at their work. And then I went to businesses and meeting the businesses because I want to know what the community is like. I want to be a good shepherd. But there probably are still a couple of people in almost 3 years that I still haven't made it to. And how sad would it be if a shepherd was a shepherd of a flock for 3 years and he didn't even know you? And you're limiting the ability of God to work through your pastor if you're just not there. So these people, they were coming in the church and they were bringing things with them. Now this happens today all the time. It might be someone coming in, they join the church, we think they're fine, and then they start giving out CDs. Or they start pointing you towards websites, or towards a YouTube page, or, hey, I've really heard about this guy. You should go listen to him. And you know, false teachers or preachers, usually they're very deceptive. They don't say, hey, by the way, I'm a false teacher. And sometimes false teachers, they don't even know that they're a false teacher because they've been deceived. Now, these people certainly did know they were doing it on purpose. They generally don't come announcing that they're false teachers, but they slowly introduce error. And you can go a long way. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we will start something not realizing where it's going to end. And I think we'd just be wise to say, okay, what is the end and goal? We ought to be concerned about obeying every single word of God. The Great Commission, the last part of that says, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I command you. All things. And listen, do you know the Old Testament is God's word? In fact, the Old Testament is probably more applicable to us today than it was to the people originally written to. Romans 15:4 says this, for what sort of things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. He's saying, listen, they are giving the New Testament, and they're saying, the stuff written in the Old Testament, that's written for us, so we can learn. Now, understand, hopefully you know in context, not every single thing applies to every single person, but we certainly can learn the lessons from there. I don't think it's a sin if you eat pork, if you're not a Jew. But I'll tell you, in our modern day, one plus is we have started realizing everything that we put through this hole and through these eyes affect our body. And there's a big push to be more healthy in our eating. That's a good thing. Anybody ever heard of Lester Roloff? Anybody ever heard of that guy, Lester Roloff? I heard a message a while ago, and he was like, I have never heard of so weak people all my life. Everybody's getting sick all the time. Go back to eating the way God told us to eat. I was like, well, that's some good advice right there, even today. But these people, they would come in, and they would start introducing heresies. They start introducing false teachings. And he calls them even damnable heresies. False teachers also will be destroyed. Look at verse number 3. They're not going to stay around forever. And they'll be destroyed because they denied Jesus Christ. That's the reason they're going to be destroyed. They denied Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Through covetousness with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment of a now long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered unto them unto chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah unto ashes, condemn them with the overthrow, making them an example of those who should live ungodly, and deliver a just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That gives us some truths here, understanding why are we righteous. It's our soul that gets, we get born again. We have a righteous soul. And even though we might not be righteous, we have this righteous soul inside us. Verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. Listen, he said, listen, they might be here, they might be in your church, they might be on the internet, but they're not going to stay there. They are going to be judged. False teachers will be judged. God is, Dad said this just earlier, God is both love and just, and he's perfectly both of those things. In fact, all of his characteristics, he's holy and he's merciful, and they all fit perfectly together. We don't always fit them perfectly together, but God definitely does. Sometimes it is easy sometimes to tell if people are false teachers because they deny God. I mean, that would be easy. That's so easy. If someone denies Jesus Christ is God, I mean, that's so easy. They're a false teacher. They don't always do that all the time, but if you listen long enough, you might find that out. The one and only sin that will send you to hell is denying Jesus. That's the one sin that sends you to hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you do not call on Jesus Christ, if you deny Jesus Christ, you are not going to. You can ask God to forgive you from all the other sins in your life, but if you deny Christ, you are not going to heaven. No way. That's the one sin that will send you to hell. Is not, you might say this, not accepting Christ as your Savior, but denying Him. People deny Jesus. There's a lot of ways we deny Jesus, but we deny Jesus by accepting Him as our Lord and Savior, or by denying that He is who He said He was and did what He said He did. So we might say, for instance, this. Easy to say, well, I don't believe Jesus is God. Okay, you're denying who He was. But what if you say, Jesus said that all that come to Me, I will in no wise, what? Cast out. Now this is very, very important that we understand this. People can be saved and not understand that they're saved forever. That's a possibility. They hear that you believe on Jesus Christ. They said, yep, I believe on Jesus Christ. They're saved. And then someone else might come and deceive them to think they lose their salvation. Listen, it's forever, so if you ever get it, you can never lose it. But there's a difference between that person and a person that reads, God says we get everlasting life. I mean, that is so easy to understand. Someone that reads that and says, well, yeah, but what about this? And what about that? What about that? You know what they're doing? Now that person is denying that Jesus actually gives them everlasting life. That is a problem. That is not the same Jesus that the Bible preaches about. So we deny Jesus that when he cried out this, it is almost finished, but if you keep on, I'll save you to a point, and then you got to do the rest. Well, it's finished. The work is done. So it's important that we know that. Once we're saved forever. But there are those that refuse Jesus Christ. It happens. Matthew 23:37 says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest of them that sent unto thee, how oft would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth chicks under her wings, and ye, they would not. Ye would not. He rejected Me. To reject the person and work of Jesus Christ is to deny Him. To reject the person and work of Jesus Christ is to deny Him. I'm talking specifically about salvation. Rejecting that Jesus gives you exactly what He says He gives you is to reject Him. Is saying, no, You really didn't give Me that. So these false teachers, they deny Jesus Christ. They twist Him. They make Him, and they wrest the Scriptures. They kind of try to change Him. And there are hard things to understand in the Scriptures, but this one's not. I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by. I mean, that's a pretty simple one right there. False teachers also lead many astray. Verse number 2 says, many, it's a guarantee, shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you know someone that has, that at least appeared to be doing right, but is now led astray? Just think about that. Maybe I'm too honest, but I sometimes scratch my head thinking, how did that happen? But I'll tell you how it happened. Paul said, listen, it can happen to me. It can happen to them. Many. It just, I don't know if they just don't know good doctrine. I don't know if they never applied it. I don't know if they just had bad examples in their life. But I don't, it doesn't really matter why. I just know these people will lead many astray. You might even say this. Many of you might know someone that used to live a really separated life. I don't know if there's too much preaching on separation anymore at all. But God says we're supposed to be separated people. There should be a distinctly different way that a believer acts, and that's what these people were doing. But they were tempted. This is too hard. The world thinks I'm weird. And there's not a chapter and verse, so why do I have to act like this? They should be different. Love not the world. There's your verse. Neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father. Not in it. That doesn't mean we're not saved. It just means we're not loving like the Father. I mean, you're saved forever. Sometimes you just don't love like the Father. Jesus loved sinners. Sometimes he sat and ate with them, but he never compromised. Never compromised. We like the story about him and the woman that was caught in adultery. He didn't condemn her. But what did he tell her? The reason, by the way, he didn't condemn her, because it was an unlawful trial. There was no other witnesses that were there. But he said, go and do what? Sin no more. Stop it! If I can say it like that. You and I are susceptible to being led astray. Peter knew that these people would be tempted to be led astray, and so as he's dying, he's saying, this could happen to you. Don't let it happen. And don't let it happen to your children's children and your children's children's children. False teachers speak evil the truth. We heard that. They just run down the truth. Man, just be careful. I'll tell you this. A false teacher would never be... You probably would never call a false teacher a legalist. Not these false teachers, anyways. That legalism, by the way, in case you want to know, is being saved by the law. Now, we use that in a lot of ways, but I understand what that means. Legalism means this. I'm telling you the way you're saved is obey X, Y, Z, and if you obey X, Y, Z, or obey the Ten Commandments or whatever, then you'll be saved. That is legal. It's literally what legalism is, saved by the law. And Paul actually was writing against that in Galatians. You're not saved by the law. You're not saved by the law. Saved by the law. And then he says, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, you're not saved by it, but don't go out and sin just because you're saved. There are spiritual leaders that talk bad about the truth. There are. Some of them don't understand the truth, but they talk bad about the truth. The Word of God is true and never changes, and yet many people change their outlook on the Word of God. The Word of God is true and never changes, but a lot of people change their outlook. They used to think it's true and everything, but then they're like, well, this really convincing guy at my cemetery, or I don't like cemeteries too much, but I mean seminaries too much, but they do change people. So there's probably some good ones out there. False teachers are also covetous. You know what they appeal on? What we like. Our covetousness. There's so many verses that look at this. But look at verse number 3. And through covetousness they with feigned words shall make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Look at verse number 10. But chiefly them that walk after their flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Look at verse number 18. For when they speak with great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who are clean escape from them who live in error. False prophets allure through appealing to people's lusts. They like it. We were warned about it. Peter, or Timothy, was warned about this. He said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort, with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not listen to sound doctrine, but heap unto themselves teachers having what kind of ears? Listen, I can almost promise you every time that a pastor gets up, unless they are just a complete idiot, they could preach something to you that they know you would like. Something like, I've said this before, I don't have a liberal bone in my body. And if I did, I would break it. I just don't like that. And you can get around societies and people, you can get to know, okay, you like whatever the Huskers or whatever. I don't know, something that you'll like. But if you sit in a church and a pastor is willing to preach every word of God, whether you're going to like it or not, whether you're going to be offended, I mean, not that they should try to offend people. And I preached the other day just on the world's way of doing things is different than ours. And a lot of pastors don't give their congregations a good outlook of the temple of God. That was a hitting message, and people are like, oh, I can't believe you just said that. Man, it's the truth. I mean, if you're just sitting, man, every time you leave church, that was so encouraging. You should be encouraged because you're where Christians are at. You should come maybe sometime to try to encourage other people. That would be a good goal, to go to church. Some of you are encouraging me right now. But if someone's just going to give you the truth, they're going to, every single word of God, you should praise God for that. Because it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen at every church. And if the Bible is true, it's going to happen less and less and less the closer we get to Christ. It kind of sounds like a lot of teachers today. Churches in general appeal more and more to their fleshly desires. I mean, like or not, they just appeal more. And I don't know that everything we like is always bad. Okay, I don't think that's the case. But we should be careful. We can probably get people here some way. And that's literally what he's talking about when he says teachers having itching ears. He can fill it up some way. Beware of teachers that appeal to your covetousness. Just thank God for preachers that love you and will even share the truth with you. False teachers use feigned words. They make literally the idea is they make up these words. They work really hard at writing down their messages. I heard one pastor who they preach their message. They have their message memorized by Friday. They have it. I don't think that's a wrong thing, by the way, because I think God's words are very important. I think words are very important. I think how we use them is very important. I think we should, we probably all know this, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will. It's a lie. It's all a lie. Words do hurt us. And they are important, and we should take, but these people craft messages and lessons specifically thinking, I'm going to use these words. I just hate new words, by the way. I just hate new words. I won't get there. I don't like triggers, although I do. I have lots of triggers in my house. I just like to shoot them. But like, you've triggered me. What? I just don't. Like, you hurt my feelings. Okay, you stepped on my toes. Those are also kind of new words too, honestly. There are people that try to deceive you by using just the right words. Words are important. Words are powerful. Words do lead us astray. Go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Words do lead us astray. That's why it's important. I think Christians should have good language, and we should be careful because God will judge you on every single word. The words you don't think about when you're at camp, you're shooting the breeze, you're playing awesome games. God's going to judge you on all those words. But Proverbs 7 says this, Proverbs 7:14 says this, I have peace offerings with me, this day I have paid my vows. Pretty good words. I went to church, I did something good, I made some offerings. Wherefore I come forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy faith. I have found thee, I made these offerings thinking about you. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved work, with fine linen of Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and he'll come home at a day appointed. We can get away with it. No one will ever know. What does the Bible say? Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him. She said just the right words at just the right time to get just the right response. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people, even Bible colleges, that if they're not careful, they will teach you to say just the right words at just the right time to get just the right response. Now, if we're talking about they're God's words, that's a good thing. But people that use faith, they manipulate words so they can get the right response. False teachers walk after the flesh and not of the Spirit. Verse number 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Listen, we are not to walk after flesh. I wish when you got saved, you got rid of your flesh. Wouldn't that be so wonderful? You get saved and you don't sin anymore. And you don't even have the desire to sin anymore. A guy got saved at our church, man, he was like this long-haired, rock and roll, drugs. He got saved. He said, I got really scared one day because I OD'd. I just about killed myself with drugs. He said, I was like, he's a completely different person now. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, I had the spikes and everything. I had it all. He said, but I got scared. I thought I was going to die. And he said, but you know what? Right now, all those things still appeal to me. They all still appeal to me. He said, I could go back to him tomorrow. Because he still has his flesh. We still have our flesh. And you might be doing good for a long time, but we still have the same flesh. And you can be still tempted with everything the flesh likes. These teachers do not mind you being fleshly. And they don't mind living in flesh either. We're supposed to live after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Galatians 5, verse number 16 says this. This I say, therefore, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Listen, if you're walking a spiritual life, you're not going to do those things that are fleshly. For the flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 7. He said, the things I really want to do as a Christian, I find myself not doing those things. The things I really don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. You know what he says? Oh, wretched man! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And you know what? He gives us the answer. I thank Christ. Because if we live for Christ, if we live according to the Spirit, we will live a victorious Christian life. That doesn't mean we're going to live a perfect life, but a victorious Christian life, it will happen. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Live however you want to live, because really, if you just are saved, it's all you really need to do. No. I beseech you therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind, that you prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everything that makes us happy is not always bad, but understand you live in the flesh. So we ought to be saying, is this, why is this making, I mean, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I'm like, nope, going to do that anymore. I'll give you something. Here's just a practical tool to help you. There is a website called Plugged In Online. Plugged In Online. They do movie and book reviews. God said, David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And we, most of the time, set wicked things before our eyes. Sometimes not on purpose, though. And Plugged In, they'll tell you exactly what's in a movie, what's in a show, how many curse words. Some of them, I don't agree with everything. Another website you can do, this is an app too. It's called Unshackled. If you've ever heard Unshackled before, it's actually an app, and you can listen to all those. You go on Unshackled. It's an app. It's a great app. The Feasters are showing me BBN. That's a good, that's also an app you can get. These are good apps that will help you. They're going to be way better. Most of what we hear, sadly, on the radio and on TV, even people that say they're Christians, are just going to give you a lot of error. Just false stuff. Most of it is error. Not that those are perfect either. They probably have some error there. But walking according to the Spirit, they walk according to flesh. These false people, they walk according to flesh. They think it's no problem, and they're not going to think it's a problem for you. False teachers also have a problem with authority. Look at verse number 10. Chiefly them that walk out of the flesh of lust and unclean, of uncleanness, the very last few verses there, verse number 10, and despise government. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Listen, false teachers do have a problem with authority. Most people, I have a problem with authority. I do not like people telling me what to do. I just don't like it. But the longer I'm a Christian, the more I'm so grateful that God tells me what to do. Because if I was left to myself, I would be lost. I need someone. We have a problem with authority. That is a sign of someone that is a false teacher, that they will not be under authority under anyone. They despise them. They rail against them. Jude says this, and Jude, verse number 8 says, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. I am 100% conservative, and I've heard a lot of pastors from pulpits and people rail on governmental authority because they just don't like the decisions they're making. We ought to be very, very careful how we speak about our authority figures, even when they're wrong. I mean, I did not like Obama. I'm not really the hugest fan of Trump, but there are authorities. He's way better than the alternative, by the way. I mean, we should just be careful. If angels aren't going to, who are higher in authority, angels are higher in authority, looking down at someone else in authority, but they realize that's an authority figure, we ought to be careful. We ought to be careful even if we don't like their authority. We're careful how we talk about other people's parents or pastors. We just be careful of those things. As Christians, we must not despise or rail against our authorities or leadership. These men don't have a problem with doing that. There might come a time where you have to do this. Speaking the truth in love. How many of you know who John the Baptist was in the Bible? You know who John the Baptist was in the Bible? Do you know why he died? He spoke the truth. He said, it's not right for that person now. Trump needed to hear that a long time ago. It's not right for you to have the, however many he's had, whatever you've had. It's not right for you to have your sister's wife. That's not right. They cut his head off for that. No, I don't think we have it that bad anymore. No one's cutting my head off because I'm preaching like that. False prophets also riot. They riot in the daytime. Verse number 13. And shall receive a reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure. They don't just riot, they like it to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. The idea of righteous, now we think of righteous living, we think of like all the riots that's happened all around the world, and that would be an application. They just are riotous people. You know what else it means too? Effeminacy. There is a huge push for men not to be men. Being effeminate, just being very girly. I can say it that way. I hate pink, by the way, just in case you're wondering, on guys. Not that I think you're feminine if you wear pink. I've heard the real men wear pink. Okay, I get it. But this is not what it's talking about. But there are men that are, they just want to dress effeminate, look effeminate. There are churches that appeal, very feminine appealing. I mean, just look, I'm not making this up. And they do it in the daytime. It also can mean just debauchery. Is there debauchery happening just in the daytime for everybody to see? And are there pride parades that happen where no shame? No, I mean, we're just not going to have any shame. Shame is a good thing, by the way, if it leads you to repentance. If it leads you to just never change, it's not a good thing. We should have some shame, but these people, they had no shame. They had no problem. I'm going to walk this way, and you can't tell me the idea of I can write in the day. We are. I thought it's weird that, but you know what? We're living a weird time where people will sin and then post it online for everybody in the world to see. I mean, it's just the weirdest, weirdest time to be living. I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm going to tell everybody else I got no shame, and you can make money off it. It was happening, and just Peter said it's going to happen. Just that people just riot in the daytime. They got no, I'm not going to. We should be ashamed. We should be like Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. I need some help. I need God to help me instead of, well, I just can't. Listen, someone that says, I just cannot do, I cannot stop doing this. They need to go back and read the Bible. Because we do have a God that is able. Again, we can't do everything. But God, who lived a perfect life, can help us to live a separate. This is what they were doing already. They were doing the right. They were living a separate life, but he's saying, you can continue. These people did not mind displaying these activities that were wrong in front of everyone. I just hate the more. I think it's so much more important now in our day and age for men to be distinctly men and women to be distinctly women. And I think if you would just think about that through, I think everyone think about it through. It's like, yeah, I could maybe act a certain way and do a certain thing and it would not necessarily be a sin. But I think it's so important that you are just distinctly, a man is not effeminate. That's not that men can't be artists. I remember warning, one guy was going to go off to this college and he wanted to go into arts. And it's not wrong with going to arts or being in music. David was, and he was a man's man. And drawing things. But I said, I'll caution you this. Men that have some tendencies that we might say are more effeminate, when the world gets a hold of them, you know what they're going to say? Well, you're just gay. You're just born that way. You're just, we used to call them faggots. You're just a faggot. They're just, and they don't mind being called that anymore, by the way, so I can say that, and they're not offended anymore. It's on their logo. They'll just put that brand on them. If you're not careful, or girls that are very, and I think girls should be very girly. I really do. And I think even now, it's just teach your girls to be a girl. Because if God's telling us this way back when, it's, I just think, more important. It's okay to be distinctly Christian. It's good and it's what God wants. False teachers. 4 minutes left, according to this one and that one. False prophets also deceive themselves. They believe their own lie. This is exactly what Satan did. Know who Satan deceived first? Himself. He deceived. You can deceive yourself. That's why it's important. That's why I love the scriptures. Because I can go back and I can say, oh, yep, I was wrong. Because I said that and this is what I am not the same pastor I was, hopefully, 3 years ago. And I don't want to be the same person I am now, 10 years from now. Because I want to be more and more like Christ. And God's word helps me get there. We can believe our own lie. Man, that's why it's so important that we are in. This is, the church was God's idea. It is a local body of people that have shepherds. And by the way, you don't even have to be a pastor to warn other people about their sin. You can just one-on-one go to them. That's probably the best thing for you to say, yeah, I saw this thing. Speak the truth in love. The people that have come to me and saw something in my life that was wrong and pointed it out to me, I actually thank God for them. Because they love me enough to say, this is something you've done wrong. And I need to hear it. False prophets have eyes full of adultery and they're not able to stop sinning. Another proof that these people were never saved. There can be, again, people that are deceived and preaching false things, but they're really saved. These people aren't. Look at verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery. It cannot cease from sin. God can help you cease from sin, but these people couldn't, so therefore they are unsaved. Beguiling unstable souls, unheartful. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Not only were they doing it, but they kept on doing it. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for
For his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Again, nothing inside. They look outside, right? But nothing inside. Clouds are carried away with tempest. To whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. These people speak sin, and actually they can't stop looking at sin. It actually talks of this idea of beholding adultery. It's like almost the idea of pornography. They just can't stop looking. They have the lingering eye. Again, and they couldn't stop sinning. It's a proof that they weren't saved. False teachers next also promise liberty but bring bondage. Look at verse number 19. While they promise them liberty, you have freedoms. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. False teachers would never be accused of being legalists. They'd be people that you're free. False teachers promise freedom, but if we follow them, we'll be brought into bondage. When you get the promise of freedom from these false teachers, you're going to be brought in. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and what? Keep you longer than you want to stay. Man, I remember I was 21 years old, and this happened. You can ask this person later on. They called me, asked me my 21st birthday. It's probably the furthest away I was from the Lord. And this person asked me, hey, are you drunk? And just them saying that was like a dart. And I thought, how did I get here? Well, it didn't happen right away, I'll tell you that much. And if we are not careful, better Christians than me have fallen way further than I have, and they're still there today because somebody convinced them that getting involved in this is okay. They convince you of this. You can live the way you want to. They'll use all kind of psychological, psycho language to get you to... I remember this lady said, we just need to learn to forgive ourselves. Okay, there are some... If you've gone to God, listen, and said, God, I'm a sinner, I need you to forgive me, He has forgiven you. So that's a biblical truth, right? God forgives us, yay! But we're just too far in the forgiveness of yourself part. We can walk in liberty. Listen, we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. You can be happy, but I don't know how much of personal forgiveness we need to do it for ourselves. Just go to God. And if He forgives you, act like He's forgiven you. Isn't that wonderful? The worst sin you could ever get involved in, and you can do anything. You know how you get right with God? It's not the 25 steps to getting healing. Father, I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? You know what? You're 100% right after then. It's all good. There might be some consequences, ask David. There were consequences. Even though he was forgiven, there were consequences. But between him, yes, that David. I mean in the Bible. The guy who was a murderer and adulterer that had his kids, although that guy. They're good at telling you you've been set free. No one can tell you how to live. No one can tell you what to do. But God has said you're not your own. That's what God said. You aren't your own. You can't live the way you want to live. At least not get away with it. We are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. What? Know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And ye are of God. Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are God's. Most of the people in this church, I'm going to assume, are very patriotic. Most people that I associate with are very patriotic, and we love our country. We don't like the things that are going wrong with our country. And we think, man, all these people that sacrificed for our country, how can we do this to our country? How much more did Christ do for us? How can we do that to the holy God that became a man? How? How can we do that? They are people that do not lift up holiness. We are, in our day and age, almost nothing is sacred. I've been preaching on false doctrine on Sunday nights, and just to be educated, I went to a Catholic services. Anybody ever been to a Catholic service before in their life? It was different. It was very, very different. Kneel, stand, still, kneel, still, kneel. But one thing that I walked away thinking, you know what I think is missing in a lot of churches that they do have that I think is good? Reverence. There is idea of reverent. And I get that this is not God's house. Okay, I understand that. But they were trying to revere, reverence, revere. That's true. I don't like people calling me reverend. They don't. but that's the idea of revere, reverence to someone. And I just don't, there's just not a lot. You know, in the Old Testament, the cups that they used for the service of the Lord were considered holy. The cloth, it was considered holy. Holiness, even them, the priest working in the temple, cleaning up, slitting throats of animals, all that was considered holiness unto the Lord. They thought a lot about it. I just don't think in our day and age, we don't think about it. A lot of it were for holiness. But let's look at what holiness was like in the Bible. And just a holy, holy, holy. When people got in the face, when we see people in the presence of God that are still alive, we see them worshiping, which means they were on their face. To worship means to bow down, to prostrate. Their immediate reaction was, whoa, I need to get down on my face because I can't even look at this person. This is not what these people are. They're not for the sacred, holy type of living. You can choose your sin, but many times you can't choose the consequences of your sin. Sometimes you can. David in the Bible got to choose the consequences of his sin. Sometimes I'll tell my kids, here are the consequences, you can pick them. But a lot of times we can't choose it. We can choose our sin, but most of the time we can't choose the consequences. And these are things that false teachers are not going to tell you. Verse number 21. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled therein and are overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn away from the holy commandment which was delivered unto them. To whom much is given, much is required. These people, they were false teachers. They came, they heard the truth at churches. They understood, they even lived. Do you know if you live according to God, what God says, and don't get saved? In other words, you are the best unbeliever out there. There is benefit to it. Not eternal benefit, but there is benefit to it. God said, though, to whom much is given, much is required. You come and you sit in a message like this. You hear that you need to get saved, and then you need to live right. And you say, I'm not going to get saved, but I'm going to live right. And you live right. Guess what? When you stand before God, it will be worse for you than if you'd never heard those messages than to turn away from them. And these people, they had conformed some things for a while. But you know what? Eventually, the dog and the hog went back to being a dog and a hog. Because there was nothing inside here. And so, I'm just telling you, there are false teachers out there. And the application, I love when Paul, or when Peter preached in the day of Pentecost, actually it'd be after the day of Pentecost, wrong. Anyways, he actually didn't give an invitation, but all the people knew they needed one. And so at the end of the message, you know what they said? What must we do? You're right! What do I need to do? Every time anyone opens the Bible, every time you read the Bible, you should say, you're right. What do I need to do? A few questions in closing. Who have you been listening to? I mean, you could just honestly listen. What comes into your ears and who gives you that message? Have you been debating that living for the Lord is worth it? That's what these people were doing. Man, is it really worth it? Are all these things that God says, is really everything, is it really worth it? Have you let some fleshly desires into your life? This is a question. Have you let them in your life? Have you been letting people deceive you? Or maybe you could say this way, have you been deceiving yourself? Listen, living for the Lord, it's 100% worth it. It's 100% worth it. You will not sacrifice for God and regret it in heaven. But it will be a sacrifice on this earth. And there's a lot of people that are struggling even. And if they struggled in Peter's day, I'm sure there's somebody sitting here today that's saying, man, there's people at our church who, they got saved and other people didn't. And it's hard for them. Because like, I want to live a different life. They don't. You know, Jesus at one point said, I didn't come to make everything better. I came to separate mother from father and brother from sister. I came to divide. A lot of times why they were unity. Jesus said, if you really believe me, there's going to be some division. And it's not going to be the same anymore in your life. And you're going to have all these struggles because you're going to live a godly life and other people aren't. So how has God spoken to you? And what are you going to do about it? Father in heaven, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for those that are here, Lord. And I've gone 9 minutes over. And Father, I thank you for their patience. Even these children, Lord, has been very attentive. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would impress upon them the truths of the Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to beware of false teachers, false prophets, Lord. And God, help us, Lord. Perhaps we've been deceived in some area. Lord, this is instructions from a dying man to us. May we take them seriously. More than that, they're instructions from a holy father to his children. Father, your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.